Yo, yo, what's going on, peoples? Yo, we live. What's going on, man? Happy TGIM. Thank God it's Monday. Welcome to another episode of the Work to Wellness to Wealth podcast. I am your illustrious host, J to the Izzy Anderson. And yo, man, just how y'all feeling? How is everybody doing? Thank you so much for logging in. Thank you. Whether you're watching this live or on the replay, just want to tell you, thank you for your support. And make sure, just leave some comments. Let me know you're watching it. If you catch it on YouTube, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Definitely trying to grow that viewership. And man, we're just trying to help people get well. And, you know, build some wealth in the process. So it's Monday. We got a week and a day before Election Day. So please make sure that you do your due diligence. If you haven't already, make sure you go out there and make your voice heard and make your vote count. So tonight, for this episode, real excited for what I have to share with you all tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk about 7 steps to building your stairway to wealth. And I'm real amped up about this one, man. This is something that I spend a lot of time studying, talking about, and a real passionate subject because, listen, we deserve to live life in abundance to the full till it overflows, but that requires wealth. So we're going to dig into this tonight. So go and tell somebody that Gerard is live. And we're going to talk about how to build your own stairway to wealth. So before I go any further, let me do my disclaimer. And yo, y'all leave me some comments. Let me know who's in the building tonight. Let me make sure I can check my comments so I can see what you all have to say. If you have any questions, yeah, please let me know. But let me do my disclaimer. So I am not a financial advisor. Let me start by saying that. And the content of this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. And it does not constitute financial advice. So make sure you go get your financial advisor, financial planner, whatever you need to do. Your financial situation is unique. So please do your research and consult a qualified financial advisor who is familiar with your personal circumstances. I am not responsible for any financial losses or gains resulting from the use of this information in this podcast. Again, it is for educational purposes only. All right. So again, thank you all for tuning in. So let me start off with two questions I want you to consider. Number one, do you believe it's essential? Catch what I'm saying. Do you believe it's essential for you to be wealthy? Okay. Just think about that. That's question number one. Question number two is, do you believe that you are supposed to be wealthy? Now, we haven't even defined it yet, but I just want to get those two questions in your thinking. Do you think it's essential for you to be wealthy? And do you think that you're supposed to be wealthy? So let's do this test real quick. Wherever you're watching this from, this is what I want you to do. I want you to look around the room that you're currently in. Like I'm looking in my office. You see, I got some stuff on the wall. I got my plant. I got my lights and everything. Answer this question for me, please. Look around the room that you're in now and tell me what in that room did not cost money. Take some time and think about that. And if you have anything in that room, please leave it that didn't cost any money. Please leave it in the comments, leave it in a message. I'm just curious to know. Is there anything in your current surroundings that didn't cost you money or cost somebody else money to put there? Okay. So I would venture to say that the answer to that is probably no. Most of the things in your surrounding cost some type of, had some type of financial price tag to it. And so I said that to say, we live in a money environment. We live in a financial environment. So most of the things that we engage with on a daily basis, it costs some type of money. So just from that standpoint right there, I would venture to say that it is important for you to have more than enough to be able to surround yourself with the things that you want around you. So that's very important. So from just that, I would say that it is important for you to have some wealth, because everything around you requires some type of money or has a financial price tag attached to it. All right. Second question I ask you is, do you think that you're supposed to be wealthy? And so I wanted to kind of tackle this one from an interesting standpoint. And before I go on, let me just say, I taught this yesterday. I have a group of guys that I'm a part of this mentoring program, and we mentor young boys and men to be entrepreneurs. So I had a chance to do the lesson yesterday. And so I taught this particular lesson, and I was like, man, this was so good. I was like, this will be something great to share on the podcast. So the first thing that I did with them is had them go to a scripture. And I want you all to write this down so you can go back and check it out in your own time. But when you get a chance, I want you to look at this scripture, and it's going to help answer the second question. Do you believe that you're supposed to be wealthy? All right. So Deuteronomy 8:18. So for those of you, my Bible scholars out there, probably a very familiar scripture to you, but let's go ahead and read it for those of you who may not be familiar with it. But it says, and this is amplified version for those of you who want to know what version are you reading. But it says, Deuteronomy 8:18, but you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Man, now the first time that I read that, man, that struck a chord with me. Let me read it again. You shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. So I know early in my financial journey, when I ran across that scripture, I was like, okay, so God, you're giving me power to get wealth? Because, you know, you hear all of these things in religious circles, like money is the root of all evil, which that's not what it says. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. Jesus was poor and all these different things. But it really intrigued me that God thought enough to give me the power to get wealth. And so that right there got my attention, because I was like, if he's going to give me the power to get it, then it must be something that he intends for me to have. So you all follow me there. So one thing that I like to do is just define terms, because a lot of times we use words and we don't even really know what the words mean. So I want to define that word ability. So God has given me the power to get wealth. So what exactly does that word power mean? It means ability. It means means, or the means to do something, authority, efficiency, strength, wisdom, ideas, insights, or whatever is needed for the desired outcome. So catch this now. He gives us power, ability, the efficiency, the strength, the wisdom, the ideas, the insights, whatever is needed to get wealth. So where's the disconnect there? It's something, because a lot of people are struggling financially. And that's one of the reasons why I decided to do this podcast, is because, some people logging on. It's because a lot of people are struggling financially, and that struggle, it causes worry, it causes stress, it causes anxiety, and that's not your best life. If you're always worried, you're always stressed, you're always anxious about finances. And so I really just wanted to address that whole thing from a wellness standpoint. So let's start with this. This is what I need you. This is baseline of these seven steps. I want you to say to yourself, and I want you to get this in your thinking, I'm supposed to be wealthy. And I know some of that may hit some people, you know, differently, but that's where it starts at. Like, you have to know that this is something that you have a right to. And I only say that based, if nothing else, on the fact that God thought it enough to give you the power, the ability, the means, the wisdom, the insights, and the ideas to get wealth. So we got to figure out how are we going to tap into this power. So how many of you know, I know you have electricity in your home. That electricity, as long as the power is on, that electricity is flowing. But guess what? If you don't tap into it, if you don't plug into it, that power could be available. Power could be flowing through your whole house and you would never benefit from it until you plug in or until you tap into it. So it's the same thing where this power to get wealth is concerned. You got to learn how to tap into it. And how do you tap into it? It starts with a level of expectation. It should be, you should wake up every morning with, today I am empowered to get wealth, to create wealth, wisdom for wealth, insight for wealth. Every day you need to have that in your mind. So it's not a foreign thought. Like you look at, you know, Elon Musk or Jay-Z or Tyler Perry, you think about them having wealth, but I want to convince you in this episode that you are supposed to be wealthy and the same power, the same ability, the same means, the same wisdom, the same insight, the same access to ideas that they have. You have access to the same thing. Now, for you, it's going to look a little bit different for your particular life. So that's the other thing. You got to make this thing personal. You have special wisdom for you. Like I have a special wisdom. I have special insight to talk about money and finances. I have a special ability where social work is concerned. That's my gifting. And so God has given me power to do those things well, and they produce income for me. You have the same ability. There's something on the inside that you can tap into as well. You just have to tap in. All right. So now we know what the word power means. So make sure you keep up with these definitions: power, authority, efficiency, strength, wisdom, ideas, insight, whatever is needed. All right. All right. Next term that we need to find is wealth. And this is kind of a tricky one because you can find 100 different definitions for wealth. I need you to define wealth for yourself. Okay. And I'll give you a definition, but wealth for me, how I define it, may look totally different than it does for you. But if you're aiming to have something, you got to define exactly what that is for you. And so you can't just, when I was teaching this lesson, I had one of my, one of the guys said, I asked him, how do you define wealth? And he just said, having a whole bunch of money. So I said, okay, let's go with that. So when I asked him, now, let's get specific. Let's drill down a little bit deeper. What do you consider a whole lot of money? And so he said $10,000. And so his brother looked like $10,000. Like, man, you crazy. That ain't no money, man. By the time you pay your monthly bills, $10,000 is going to be gone. So that's why you got to really be specific for yourself. How do you define wealth? Now, we already established that it's something that you're supposed to have. And we already established that God has given you the ability to get it, but you got to tap into it. But now you have to define what is that wealth and what it means to you. So here's a definition that I found. And like I said, it's just a generic definition, but I will challenge you to come up with your own definition. But this is a definition that I found. Wealth is defined as the freedom and security to pursue your desired lifestyle without financial stress. It's about having the resources to support your goals, your dreams, and your well-being. So I thought that was pretty good. Let me say that again. Wealth is the freedom. So that's very important. So a level of freedom should come along with wealth and security to pursue your desired lifestyle without financial stress. So you kind of see it addresses that stress. So if you have, let's just say, if you have a lot of money, but you're stressed out all the time, or you don't have the time to enjoy it because you're just so busy, is that truly the type of wealth that you want? So you got to be specific. Like, do you want wealth with stress or without stress? Do you want wealth with freedom or without freedom? You got to be specific. And it's about having the resources to support your goals, dreams, and your well-being. So that's the definition that I have for you all, but I want you to take the time to define wealth for yourself. Now, this next thing that we have to consider is, what is the purpose of wealth? So you have to decide that for yourself. But I have four different things in terms of the purpose for wealth. All right. So make sure you capture these. Very important. Purpose number one for wealth, the ability to cover basic and essential needs necessary for security and peace of mind. So what's the purpose of wealth? On its lowest level, it's the ability to cover your basic and essential needs necessary for your security and peace of mind. All right. So that's step one. Purpose for wealth, foundational number one. Number two, the second level is generosity and benevolence. So after you have your basic needs taken care of and you're not stressing about money every day, guess what? You're in a place now where you can be a blessing to other people. And going back to that scripture, God said in that scripture, I've given you power to get wealth so that I may establish my covenant. And without getting too deep, that covenant is really just about loving people, just about taking care and loving people. That's what God always has on his mind. I want to make sure that my children, my peoples are taken care of and that they're loved. And so resources help in doing that. So that's level two, generosity and benevolence. So one was basic and essential needs covered. Two, generosity and benevolence. Third level, purpose of wealth, is enjoyment and recreation. So there's another scripture that says, John 10:10, I came that you might have and enjoy life in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's one of my favorite scriptures. So what that says to me is that you're supposed to be enjoying life, and not just a little bit, man. You're supposed to be enjoying life in abundance till the full till it overflows. Like, your life is supposed to be so full that it just spills over into other people, the joy, the goodness that you have in your life. It just spills over into the lives of other people. And that's what that benevolence is all about. Your goodness overflowing that it helps other people. But you're supposed to enjoy, and you're supposed to enjoy life, and you're supposed to enjoy recreation. So that's the third purpose of wealth, enjoyment and recreation. And then lastly, I would say, fourth purpose of wealth is just security and retirement and your post-working years. So getting to the place where, and you know, my thoughts about retirement has changed now that I understand more about money and finance. A lot of times we equate retirement with a date. Retirement, it isn't about a date. It isn't about an age. It's about a number. It's about a dollar amount. So think about this. A lot of people, if you won, let's just say $5 million. Let's just say you won the lottery, you won the jackpot, you won it big. And you're in your 30s or 40s. Would you continue working? Would you say it's like, well, I know I have this $5 million, but I'm not 65 yet. So I'm going to keep on working until I can retire. Or would you say it's just like, I think I'm going to work a little bit longer because that's how the job needs me to be here another 10 years. No, you probably be like, see ya, I'm gone. Like, I'm not even gonna give a 2 weeks notice, I'm out the door. So I challenge, or I just present to you, that retirement is not about an age, and it's not about number of years worked, more so than it is about a dollar amount. And if you can hit that dollar amount ahead of schedule, and you know that you have enough to make sure that you can continue living your desired lifestyle without working or without staying on that job and without running out of money, chances are you're going to probably stop working. So we're going to have to rethink this whole retirement thing, but that'll be another whole episode. So four purposes of wealth. Let me go through these again, and then we're going to go into the steps that are on the stairway to wealth. Purpose of wealth number one, to make sure basic and essential needs are taken care of. Purpose number two, generosity and benevolence. So your cup is full, you can begin to help other people. Purpose number three, enjoyment of life, enjoyment and recreation. So having a lifestyle that you can do the things that you enjoy doing with the people that you enjoy doing it with. And then lastly, security beyond your working years. So making sure that you have enough coming in that you don't have to worry about money or finances beyond your working years. All right, so we've kind of laid a pretty good foundation of wealth, what it means. You need to define it for yourself, the power to get wealth and the purpose of wealth. So now let's get into these steps. So I use this example. So just think about a stairs, a couple of steps that you go up. You know, each step takes you higher. All right. So I want you to think about a stairway that leads to wealth. And guess what? You can't start at the bottom and end up at the top. So there's steps that you have to take. And that's the approach that I'm taking. So I'm not talking about, ooh, I won the lottery and I have $10 million. And just money in and of itself, that's not wealth. That's not a full definition in and of itself, just having a lot of money. But what are the steps, or what steps will you likely have to encounter on your way to building or creating wealth? All right, so let's go through these seven steps. How am I on time? All right, we good. So should be done about 30 minutes. In 30 minutes, not 30 more minutes, but 10 more minutes. All right, step number one, and these are foundational steps right here. So all of these things are on step number one, and these are all foundational on this stairway headed to creating wealth. So on step one, I would say education is foundational, experience foundational, your mindset foundational, character foundational. So those would be the first step for me. Those would be my four things. So let's go through each of these real quick. Education. So let me be clear. I'm not talking about your traditional school education. I went to school, high school diploma, went to college and got my degree, and went and got my master's and doctorate. That's a part of it. Let me clarify that. That's a part of the education process, but that's not it when we're talking about creating wealth. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of people who go that full educational route, and they struggling like everybody else. So that's a small piece of it. So what do I mean when I say education? I mean, you need to be educated in everything that you need to know and understand where your money and your wealth is concerned. All right. So financial literacy is a part of that education. So if you go through all your years of high school, you go through college and you go and get your master's degree and you get your doctorate, but you have no financial literacy. You spend more than what you're making. Like, it doesn't matter. Someone, I forgot who said this, but it doesn't matter how much you make. It matters how much do you keep. So even if you have the best Ivy League education, if you don't have understanding of some basic things where managing your money is concerned, and just a mindset for abundance and, you know, more than enough in wealth, it doesn't matter how much you bring in, it's going to quickly dwindle back down to not enough or nothing at all, because you still lack in the proper education. So let me just be clear with that. Education is whatever education you need for your particular path to wealth. Don't limit it to any one thing. Don't limit it to your schooling. Don't limit it to just your vocation in your particular area. Include financial literacy. It might include sales, marketing. You need to be educated, financial literacy specifically, okay? Number two is, like, you got to have some experience. So at some point, you got to get out there, and you can read, you can get the education, you can study, you can do all of this stuff. But at some point, you got to be able to go out there and make some things happen. You got to experience some things. You got to go out there and meet some people and try some different things. You need to fail as soon as possible. I know that may sound kind of strange, but man, there's a lot of lessons learned when things don't work out the way that you want them to. And, you know, some people call it failure. Some people call it feedback. But you need to go through those motions and figure out the things that aren't working, because the more things that you figure out don't work, the sooner you'll get to understanding the things that do work. So experience is the next one. Mindset is so important. And I spend a lot of time talking about this. You got to have the right mindset. And honestly, most of you, most of us probably weren't raised up with the proper mindset around money or wealth. A lot of times we don't even have these type of conversations. So you need to work double time, triple time, overtime, and cultivating your mindset. You may have some negative, limiting, fear, poverty beliefs that you have to get rid of. I don't want to spend anything because I'm afraid I'm going to run out. I don't want to take any risk to double or make more money because it might not work out. So all of that stuff, all of that mindset stuff, you have to get rid of that. And it's a lifelong journey. Like, you never get to the place where you can say, okay, I've arrived. My mindset is perfect. I'm 100 creme de la creme. Mwah. I have nothing else that I need to work on where my mindset is concerned. Not the case. So you always need to be working on your mindset, okay? And then education, experience, mindset. And then the last one, character is so important. Character and integrity, when you talk about wealth, is so important. I won't go into a lot of detail, but if you lack character and integrity, having a lot of money can jack your life up. And I'm going to just leave it there. Fill in the blanks for yourself, but you have to have a level of character and integrity where wealth is concerned, because you get to the point and you start thinking that I'm bigger than life, I'm bigger than anybody, and big me, everybody else is little you. And so I know from a spiritual standpoint, man, you know, I'm sure God gives us power to get wealth and he wants us to be wealthy. But more important, before you get to that place, I know that he is big on you developing the character to be able to handle that. And I'm not talking about a whole bunch of religious rules, but I'm just talking about, man, having the discipline to make sure that, you know, you're not doing things with the money. Let's just say, you know, you strung out on things that may be harmful to you, like doing drugs or whatever the case may be. So character is so important, and just making sure that when you become wealthy, that you still know how to treat and respect other people. All right. So that's all I'm going to say about that. That's step number one. All right. Step number two in this stairway to wealth is income. Listen, can't get around it. You have to generate income if you want to get to a place of becoming wealthy. Income is definitely, absolutely necessary. Now, here's the trick with income. Okay. A lot of times we think, okay, if I just go to school and get my education and get my job, I got some income coming in, I'll be cool if I can just get a well-paying job. I learned that wasn't true real quick in my life. So let me tell you a little bit about my story. So I followed the traditional route, man, made A's and B's in high school, went to college and got my undergrad degree, went back and got my master's degree. And in my mind, that was going to set me up to make what I thought was, quote unquote, good money. So for me, that time getting ready to graduate from college, I said good money would be about $40,000 or $50,000 a year. I was like my dude yesterday who said $10,000. Didn't know any better at the time. So I was like, yo, $40,000, yo, that's, I'll be solid. Got enough to have a place to stay. Can get me a new ride, man. Got enough to just go out and enjoy life. But what happened to me is when I got my first, I was doing an internship in my last year of grad school. And I got a job at the place where I was doing the internship at. It was a school. And so after I finished, like I said, they offered me a job. And I was just so excited to have my first job. So excited, I didn't even ask them how much I was going to be getting paid. And so, you know, signed the contract and happy to be working. So when I looked and saw what my salary was, it said $24,000. I was like, something ain't right about this. It's like, oh, wait, y'all must be forgot. I got a master's degree. Like, this couldn't be right. $24,000 with a master's degree. And so what happened in that particular state, they only paid social workers on a classified scale, which means I was getting paid on the same level with cafeteria workers or people who didn't necessarily have a degree. No slight to my cafeteria workers. So I was making income, but that income wasn't even enough to get me out of my mom's house. And I remember my checks ended up being about $800 every 2 weeks is what I was getting. And in the span of a month, I was only getting after taxes about $1,500. Listen, and I had a 81 Mercury Capri at that time, called it the Grey Goose, man. Grey Goose was on its last leg. I couldn't drive that car over 20 miles without it overheating, couldn't go anywhere with it. So I was making income, but I was not making enough income to take care of my basic needs. And if I don't have my basic needs taken care of, it's going to be hard for me to get to that next level of being able to, you know, produce wealth. So step number two, I said, was income, but it has to be enough income to check some boxes. Has to be enough income for you to be able to take care of your basics. And it has to be enough for you to have some to save some leftover. So you can begin using that money to build wealth and doing some investing. We'll talk about that in a few steps down the line. But I just want you to understand that it's not just income. You need to have multiple streams of income, because one stream of income may be enough to just check one box, which is taking care of your basic needs. So that's what your job is primarily for. Make sure, and let me say this too, make sure, don't try to skip to step 3, 4, or 5 if the basics aren't taken care of. Like, you know, you're trying to invest and trying to double and compound your money, but the basics aren't taken care of. And I have some experience with that. I know I left my job, which I needed to leave, but when I left, I didn't have enough to take care of the basics. And it just caused a whole lot of stress with me, with my wife, with our marriage, with our family, all of that stuff, because the basics were not taken care of. So I understood the value of that steady, consistent income real quick. But my challenge to you is you cannot stay there. And this is the hardest thing is, well, Gerard, how do I generate more income? You know, I don't have any time and, you know, all of these different things. Go back to how I started this lesson. What did God say that he would give you? He would give you the power, the means, the ability, the insight, the wisdom to get wealth. So I don't care where you are. I don't care what your circumstances are. Power has already been made available. You just have to tap in for yourself. But I truly believe that God can show you exactly what you need to do to begin to increase your income. Because you got to think about it. So let's just say if a salary today was the same as it was in the 1960s, it wouldn't be able to buy anything because of inflation. The cost of goods and services are always going up. So you have to think, you need to put yourself in a position where you're going from level to level to level where your income is concerned. Now, easier said than done. But here again, the power has been made available to do that. And you just have to tap into it to get wisdom for your situation and your circumstances. So go back and really meditate on the scriptures. Like, okay, God, if you've given me power to get wealth, show me how that power can operate in my life to increase my income. So I hope that's making sense, but you got to go from income to income to income to income. But you do that by tapping into the power. All right, man, we're getting into some good stuff. So if you want to be wealthy, you must generate income, and you can't just stay on the same level of income that you are at. All right, that's step number two. Step number three, all right, on this stairway to wealth is step three is minimal and controllable debt. So there is nothing that will erode your money or your wealth faster than anything else than bad debt. Now, you know, I know there's a lot of discussion about good debt. What's good debt versus bad debt? Bad debt is simply debt that just takes money out of your pocket, out of your account, end of story. Good debt is debt that can eventually bring money back into your pocket. So if you're investing in real estate, initially it may take money out because of the initial investment, but that investment can bring money back in and eventually pay off the debt. The debt that I'm talking about, credit card debt, consumer debt, what other kind of student loans debt, and that's an investment, but man, I've seen too many people who some student loans, you'd be digging yourself out of that hole for 20 years. So here's my thoughts with student loans. If you can, and I tell my students in school this as much as possible, if you can find a way to get your education and avoid getting into a whole bunch of debt, please do that by any means necessary. Now, am I saying that you shouldn't take out loans and you know, all that type of stuff? No. Now, am I going to figure out how to get my son in school without having to get into a whole lot of debt? Yeah, I am, because you're going to have to pay that money back. But any debt like car loans, credit card debt that has that high interest, like I was looking at a credit card, one of my credit cards the other day, and the interest APR on it was like 30 something percent. So if you're not paying that thing off at the end of the cycle, you paying 30% on that money. So in other words, if you charge $100, they get an extra $30 if you're not paying that thing on time. So you got to keep your debt to a minimum, because the borrower is servant to the lender. So as long as you owe someone else money, it's going to be really difficult for you to build wealth. I hope y'all understand that. So step three, minimal and controllable debt. I can go into a lot more detail. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I need to speed up. But y'all got the point. Stay out of debt as much as possible, unless it's debt that can bring money back to you. And even with that, go to step one. That still requires a level of education and experience and the right mindset. Because I've seen a lot of people go belly up even with real estate. The potential was there, but they didn't have the education and understanding. And so it ended up being a whole lot more debt, and it was a burden for them. All right, step four, good money management habits. Two of the biggest ones is spending less than you earn. So let me say this again. It doesn't matter how much you make. It matters how much you keep. And, you know, we can look at some of celebrities of years gone by, MC Hammer, Mike Tyson, a whole bunch of people who made millions of dollars and still ended up broke or filing for bankruptcy. So that just proves it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. So you have to develop some good money management habits. Spending less than you earn is one, and then just as you're getting started, you got to have a budget to kind of control your spending. So that's a big one. I love this quote. It says, you determine, you make your habits, and then your habits make you. And so a lot of people didn't grow up in households that taught them, you know, money management skills and habits. So that's a part of the reason why I started my whole financial social work coaching platform, is to help people with the mindset part, with the, you know, developing money management skills, developing good habits. So if you need some help in that, definitely go to my website. I'm going to just, while I'm thinking about it, put this on the screen, GerardAAnderson.com. So I got a whole bunch of free resources on there. But listen, you got to get this part right too, because even if you get the income, if you don't have the type of habits necessary to maintain it, take care of it, cause it to grow, you're still going to find yourself in a hole. All right. So that's number four, good money management habits. Step number five is saving. So here again, this is another step that you will have to encounter. Is not what you make, is what you keep. And what you keep is what you save. So here are three primary areas where you need to save at. Two, one might be questionable, but I think it's as important. So number one, your emergency fund. You got to have savings for the unexpected things that's going to happen in life. Because if you don't, so let's just say, just in our family last week, our freezer went out. And so guess what? Food about to spoil. We on the clock. We got to get a new freezer like tonight. And so it's like 7 o'clock at night. And I'm out here running to Home Depot and got to figure out how to rent a truck and do all this other type of stuff. That was an unexpected thing. But the great thing, because we had emergency funds, or I call it stabilization funds. I don't like to use the word emergency. I call it stabilization funds. Those are the funds when things get a little bit off kilter. It stabilizes you. It's my stabilization money. So guess what? I was able to go to Home Depot going, hey, what kind of freezer we want? Boom, let's get it. Didn't have to put it on a credit card. I put it on a credit card, but I was able to pay it off. And we'll talk about that hack, you know, putting things on credit card to get the points. But had the money to already pay it off. That's because already pre-planned in my mind, we're going to have unexpected things that are going to happen. So we need to go ahead and prepare for it. Here's the deal with this. Start with where you are. Even if you just put $5 aside. I know when I first started putting money aside, it was just like $10 to $25, man. I'm at a much better place now where I can put like $500, $1,000 aside per month to invest. But when I first started out, it was just $25 a month that I was putting aside. But you got to save for those unexpected things, emergencies, things to keep you stabilized. That's the area number one. Number two, your retirement. Man, you have to put some money aside for the future, for your retirement. You have your 401ks, your 403bs. I won't get into all of that, but wherever you put your money, you got Roth IRAs, regular IRAs that you can put your money aside into, but you have to have some savings so you keep a little bit, keep a good bit of what you earn, okay? So you have it for something later on in the future. And then I think this is important too. You have to have some savings for vacation and recreation. I'm big on that, man. Let's just make sure that we're intentional about enjoying life. And I would almost call this a wellness account. Like, you need to put money aside just to be able to invest in things that contribute to your well-being. If that's a vacation, if that's going to the spa, if that's getting your toes and your hair done, listen, if that's your thing, have the money available to do it. Like, that right there is what I call self-care. So that's step number five, the savings piece. Step number six. So after you got, you know, got some income coming in, you got your debt under control, you're developing some good money management skills, some budgeting, spending less than you make. You got some savings aside, some money for a vacation. Step six is investments. Woo, that's where it starts to get fun. This is where wealth really starts at. All of that other stuff was foundational. But investments and compound interest and getting money to the point where it's working for you, this is where the wealth acceleration process really starts to kick into gear. And man, it's such a fun thing to watch, man. You know, I was just putting money aside and wasn't really paying attention to it until I started getting serious about money and finances. And when I started really paying attention and started investing intentionally, like, just not to tell y'all all my business, but the money that I had invested over the years, when I really started paying attention to it, last year, my money grew about $20,000. That's just from what grew from the initial investment. And so it's exciting when you see your money growing and you're not working hard for it to grow, but it's growing on its own. So I'm working hard to get the income coming in, but I'm already thinking like, okay, how am I going to take this income and allow it to grow and increase and start working for me? So step six is you got to take some of that income after you got your savings aside and you got to start investing it so it can start compounding, growing in interest like a snowball. A lot of times we hear the snowball effect with paying off debt, but compound interest, it's a snowball too, man. And if you keep on investing that money and let it compound, That thing is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And before you know it, over the course of a couple of years, you're going to find yourself with a whole lot more money than what you started off with. So you got to get to the point where your money is working just as hard for you as you're working for it. All right, that's number six. I could talk a whole lot more about that, or maybe in another episode. If you all be interested in hearing more about that or any of this stuff, let me know, and I can do some other shows on it. And then lastly, number seven is, I would say this one has really become front and center for me where wealth is concerned, but estate planning. Do you have a will? Do you have a trust? Do you have health directive? Do you have a power of attorney? All of those things are a part of wealth, because what's going to happen to all of this wealth that you worked so hard for? What's going to happen to it after you're gone? And so many people, man, so many people end up leaving here and they don't have a will or an estate plan in place. And it just caused a whole bunch of added stress for the loved ones that you leave behind. Just a couple of recent ones, I heard Chadwick Boseman didn't fully have an estate plan or a will. I know that was the case with Prince. Whole host of other people. If you missed the last episode, last week, I shared a broadcast that me and my good friend Ron Grider did. We did a whole masterclass on the basics of estate planning. So make sure you go back wherever you're watching this at. It should be somewhere in that feed. Go back and watch that basis of estate planning. And if you don't have a will or some basic things in place, I challenge you to go back and do that. So that's all I'm going to say about that. If you want to learn more about estate planning, you can go and watch that last week's episode. And I think I'm going to stop right there. So there you have it. The seven steps building your stairway to wealth. So make sure you go back and watch this again. Take some good notes. Figure out where you need to make some adjustments. And listen. Wealth is not a single event. It's a journey. Like, I'm in the process of building and creating wealth now. So don't think it's just a certain dollar amount. Like, you're wealthy where you are right now, and you just have to continue to build and create it over time. All right. Last thing, I just want to tell you all that in December, I'm thrilled and excited to announce that I'm launching I'm calling it Club Financial Wellness. And it's going to be a financial wellness club where we're going to just start talking about some of the things that we spoke about tonight, but it's going to be from a wellness standpoint. So we're going to talk about how can you strategically use your money, your finances for mental wellness, physical wellness, emotional wellness, social wellness. How can you strategically use your money to help increase your well-being? So that's going to start in December, but I'm going to share some more information with you. The enrollment for it is going to open in November. So you have some time to get signed up. But here's the great thing, because I know a lot of people around the holidays, you know, money is tight. It's only going to be $19.99 per month. And the great thing is, it's like you can jump in and you can cancel anytime you want to. So just $19.99 per month. If you want to test it out and cancel it, you can. Okay. But it's going to be so much value and things that you get from it, you're not going to want to do that. But more information will be coming out about that in the next coming weeks. And so I just wanted to share that with you now, but keep an eye out for it. All right. Well, that is all I have for this episode. Thank you all for tuning in. Please leave some comments, like, subscribe, whatever. Just let me know that you're out there, and I appreciate your support. And I will see you all next week.